I want to talk to you about dolphins. Dolphins are good Christians. Now, the message is not about dolphins, but I'm just going to use this topic to catch your attention and just talk to you a little bit about what I learned. We were staying up Siesta Key Beach, and every day we would see dolphins. Dolphins would swim up and go down, and they would be gone a while, about 10, 15 seconds, and then they would come back up again. It was interesting to see all the beauty that God has created. But then Holy Spirit began to speak to me, because I look for God to speak to me in every little thing. Do you know that God could speak to you through any situation? He can give you a metaphor. He can give you an illustration. God spoke to me. He said, look at dolphins. And look how they live kind of in two worlds. How many of you know that Christians, we are in this world, but not of this world? Notice that dolphins, they live in the water, but they're not like regular fish, because they're not fish at all. They're mammals. How many of you know dolphins' world is water? But just in that water, if he lives only in that water, he will not survive for very long. Dolphins need to get some air. So dolphins usually live on the barrier of one world and the next. Bible says we're in this world, but we are not of this world. And Christians, we need to live kind of like dolphins. We are in the world, but sometimes we need to dive out of this world and go into a different world. What kind of worlds am I talking about? There's two worlds. There's physical world, and there is a spiritual world. And God wants His people not to be stuck in one world, because we cannot survive in one world. We need to go up and get some of the spiritual world and then dive back in. Now, how many of you know that if a dolphin is beached, or he goes on a beach and stays there too long, he will die? Same thing. We cannot, as humans, as Christians even, live in a spiritual world all the time. If we did, we would be dead. If you are in a spiritual world, you're dead. 100%. But Bible says we're still in this world. But God wants us to be like dolphins, to go up, get some air, and go do the worldly things, the world things that we should do, and then go back again in the spirit. And notice that dolphin is a kind of a whale. And so they go up, get some air, go down. Get some air, go down. That's how Christian life is. That's why we come to church every Sunday, or at least because we need air. Interesting thing that I know, when a dolphin baby is born, the first thing it has to do is not to get some water. Her mother pushes her little calf up so she could get some air. And that's how she becomes alive. She has to go into a different world, get some air, and that's how she starts living. Interesting, huh? Dolphins are pretty fast. They swim about 10 to 15 miles per hour in the water. And that's pretty fast. And sometimes when they need to go really fast for a moment, they could go up to 25 miles per hour in the water. That's pretty fast. But interesting thing, that if a dolphin wants to go fast, it needs to jump off the water, dive in, jump again. It needs to spend a lot of time in the air. So if a spiritual person wants to go really fast, it has to jump more into the spirit world so they can go. And a lot of times we wonder why the fire is gone, why the boldness is gone, why are we not like we used to be? I think it's Apostle John. He said this. He said, when we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have boldness for not spending time in the air, in the spiritual world, in the light. And usually people who are very against worship and praying loud and everything like that, they don't spend time in the light. So when they get in the light, they feel uncomfortable. If you have been swimming too long in this world and haven't come up, God is calling you to come up and get some air. Because you cannot live too long by just physical bread alone. A man shall not live by bread alone. He can't live without bread, but it's not by bread alone. And that's why Jesus said, I have bread that you do not know of. Today, I think church is kind of in that urgency mode. You know what happened to us? In the beginning, we were like, all you can see is these dolphins jumping.
And everybody making a lot of waves, and everybody was going, wow, look at this, that's so pretty. But now we kind of submerged ourselves, and we went under. And now we're swimming where we're comfortable.
I don't know if dolphins really like to go up, but they have to. Maybe they would like to be like the rest of the fish, just kind of swimming, never coming up, going deep. But dolphins, they just live every 15 to 30 seconds, they're up, getting the air. That's what Christians are. That's what we should be like. Hallelujah. Now, I feel like the church today are down there in the world. So much where rarely we as people come up to see something different, to get some speed. And what happens is many people today feels like we're drying up a little bit. So today, I want to talk to you about a subject that was very uncomfortable for me for a long time, but I have to address it. And that's written in Matthew 10:23. We're talking about urgency. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The part I want to focus on, that you will not go through every city before the Son of Man comes. Interesting thing about Jesus, in his ministry, in his preaching, he had urgency. Warning, no time, don't be slow, we got to finish this. It's urgent. Deadline, thank you. Jesus said something to his disciples. You will not have time to go through every city before Son of Man comes. Isn't that interesting that there is urgency in Jesus' preaching? Now let's open to Matthew 16:28. Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. There's another interesting, urgent verse in the Bible. Jesus said this. And He said, some of you standing here will not see death so that you'll see Son of Man coming in His kingdom. That's a little bit interesting because as I know the history, all of them died. And the question arises, did Jesus miss it? Looks like they all died. In His message, Jesus had urgency. Christianity must have urgency. Christianity is an urgency faith. It's not faith where there is tomorrow. We're living in a time, I should go to church. Well, there's another day. There's another time I could do it. I should read my Bible with my family. But there's still time. I can do it tomorrow. I should give to the works of the Lord. Well, there are always going to be next Sunday. I can give any day, right? Just not today. I should advertise Jesus in my workplace. I should advertise Jesus in the church and in the family, everywhere I go. Well, but I'm a little bit shy. I'm ashamed, you know. But I can do it tomorrow. You know, there's always going to be tomorrow. There's going to be another person tomorrow. I should love my enemies. I should forgive people. Well, it's a perfect chance. Holy Spirit tells you on the inside. It's a perfect chance for you to forgive somebody. You're right there. Just say, listen, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me and I forgive you? Were you like, no, I'll just wait a little bit longer. Maybe He'll say sorry first. The devil is a liar. He wants people to think that there is still tomorrow. How many of you have prophecies spoken over your life? Before I had prophecies in my life, I kind of was okay with this scripture. But after the prophecies came into my life, what I began to do was, well, Jesus cannot come because the prophecies has to be fulfilled in my life. So every time I would read this scripture, I would feel uncomfortable around this scripture. Well, there are songs that we need to write. Jesus cannot come till we become big and you do at least one arena service. Jesus cannot come. I got to buy a new truck. Jesus cannot come. I got to get married. You got to get married before you go to heaven. I mean, Jesus cannot come. And so what we do, we'll say, we'll fast tomorrow. We'll pray tomorrow. Advertise tomorrow. And Satan wants people to live in that mode.
kind of carelessness, kind of a complacency, kind of like, okay, but tomorrow. But notice that Christianity, the message of Jesus, is there is no tomorrow. Maybe there is tomorrow for Andre, but the people he associates with, maybe one of them might not have tomorrow. So guess what? If there is no tomorrow for that other person that Andre could advertise to or preach to or tell him about how good God is or be the light to, Andre doesn't have tomorrow either. Because today is the only day he could do it. Tomorrow that person will not be there. Or Andre will not be there. So truly there is no tomorrow to do the work of God. And what Satan is afraid of is for you to start walking in your calling. That's why he makes people procrastinate. I believe procrastination is from the devil. There is no excuse. Let's read that scripture again. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see Son of Man coming in His kingdom. All of them died. What's the problem, Jesus? Looks like something you prophesied, you missed. Well, one thing we've been taught was Jesus never misses. But if you're really true to yourself, when you get to the scripture, you have a problem. Because that is a problem. All of the people Jesus was with died. I have a problem with this. What's going on, Jesus? Why would you say this, that none of them will die? Let's read one more scriptures, and that's Matthew 24, 34. Jesus said this, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And he talked about that kingdom was going to come. Jesus was going to come. How do we know Jesus is going to come? Because there's scripture in Thessalonians about rapture. There are some scriptures about, as in the day of Noah, people were eating, drinking, getting married. So will the day of the Son of Man be. People will be eating, drinking. A lot of us live in this self-comforting mode. We say, before Jesus will come, things are going to get so bad. Economy is going to go down. It's going to be depression. People are going to be eating each other. And there will be no food to eat. There's going to be crazy stuff happening. That's when Jesus will come. And that's when I'll get right with Him. If we look at the first church, how did they live? They lived urgently. We say, my mom talked about Jesus coming here, pretty soon. And I remember my grandpa talking about Jesus coming. And then I remember my great-grandpa talking about Jesus is coming, like right now. In 1960s, 70s, it was big. Jesus is coming, it's coming. But in 90s and 2000, it kind of went down. When prophetic movement went up, it went down. Because we know there's still tomorrow. Because we think we know there's still tomorrow. And there might be. But what the Bible says, that things don't need to necessarily get worse before Jesus comes. Notice in the days of Noah, things didn't get worse. It was actually pretty darn good. They were eating, drinking, they were getting married, they had parties. And suddenly, the doors were closed and only a certain 8 people were saved. And everybody else was wiped out of this world. That's how Jesus said it will happen, as in the days of Noah. What I'm trying to do is first be honest to the Word of God and myself. And second thing, raise up urgency in our church. Listen, we don't have tomorrow to change this city. We don't have forever to save somebody. We don't have forever to do something for God. We don't have forever to love one another. And we live in a very good nation, the best country in the world. And you know, when times are good, people forget about God. Look at the days of Solomon. The gold was so cheap and the silver was as rocks. But look, Solomon left God and started serving all kinds of goddesses and gods. He lost the sense of urgency. And we are so dived in, like the dolphin could, in the world. We forget to go up. We forget to go up and get some of that. Right now, for the church, this is the period. It's urgent. If you don't get some air, you might be stuck there forever. We're living in an urgent time. I believe he knew what he was talking about. If Jesus is God, then he knows everything, the end from the beginning. He knows everything. So he knew that apostles will die. He knew that even my great-grandparents were going to die. He knew that men of God throughout the history for the last 2,000 years, they were going to die. Don't you think Jesus knew that? The apostles preached urgency, yet they knew it will not be maybe in their generation. Apostles preached that Jesus is coming today, yet they knew that it might not happen in their time. Some people taking this urgency to extreme. We've heard of the people, maybe you did too. They started believing these verses so bad, like that Jesus said. And I don't think they believed, they misunderstood them. What they did was, they sold their houses, they stopped going to work, they stopped going to school. How many of you heard about that? They stopped doing everything and they just waited for Jesus to come. They would go to a certain mountain and they just wait. Some would shave their heads. People would say, okay, Jesus is coming on this day. We're so urgent. Because they misunderstood that scripture. And I don't want anybody here to misunderstand the scriptures. Because some of you say, well, why should I go to college? I mean, Jesus is coming. Could be here any day. I mean, don't we have a lot of Christians like that? We used to. We still do. People who are so Christian, they're like, we're living in the end time. They're so misunderstanding this urgency that Jesus was trying to produce. That what they're doing, they're not doing anything. They're just kind of mellow, without a purpose. Urgency is for a reason. There is a reason why Jesus spoke these scriptures. And it's not that you would stop doing anything. It's not. It's actually to produce more work in you, knowing that tomorrow might not be there. Now, how do I know that apostles knew that Jesus might not come in their time? Now, of course, we're living in a different time. All the prophecies are pointing that Jesus is coming in our time, not in their time. The gospel has to be preached in all the world, to all nations. Now, apostles did not preach the gospel to the whole world. That's not the whole world, that's half of the world, even if they did preach to their part of the world. So apostles knew that Jesus is not coming, yet they preached that we don't have tomorrow. Interesting. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Look what Paul says. Brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. Are we talking about coming of the Lord Jesus? Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. So one thing, we should not be troubled. Oh, you know, scared. I don't know. Just running around being scared. You know, what are we going to do? The Lord is coming. One thing, we're not troubled. So this message I'm preaching is not to produce trouble in you. It's produced what Jesus wanted to produce, urgency. Not trouble. Not to soon be troubled in mind, either by spirit or word or by the letter. So he says, what Jesus wrote or what we wrote to you about coming of Jesus, don't be troubled. If somebody prophesies that Jesus is coming July 2nd, 2000 or Y2K, you know, Jesus is coming. Do you know that there was Christian people, they would sell stuff and they would just live out their last day because they believed that Jesus is coming in Y2K? And usually what happens, these people abandon Jesus. Because of their foolishness. And that's what Satan wants to do. Want people to be so misleading and be fanatical about, misunderstand something and create a date. And Jesus said, no one knows the date or the hour when Jesus will come. Or on the other side, he makes people complacent, you know, kind of just careless. Kind of like, I don't care, you know, whenever he comes, you know. And that's not the life Christ wants us to live. Don't fall. When there is a road, there is usually a ditch in one side of the road and on the other side of the road. You got to stick to about the middle. And that's what people do a lot of times. They go to one extreme or they go to another extreme. So let's read this. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by the Spirit, by the Word, or by a letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Or another translation says, is coming. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, notice, although in one part apostles preached Jesus coming, here Apostle Paul is saying, hey, don't worry about it. Don't get all scared and fearful and troubled and live in fear. No, Jesus is coming. Or he might have come already. He's saying that they will not come. Not in his time, it didn't. But that's not even my point, to show you when the day of Jesus is coming. The reason Jesus wrote those scriptures, and they're coded, meaning it's, we might not understand them till the time comes. Some scriptures we read and we just don't get them. And then one year, the things happen around us and we read that, it becomes so clear. The Word of God is living. Every Sunday, every week, every day, it's revealing something new to us concerning and based on the time that we're living. The reason Jesus spoke of these verses like that is so we stop living complacent life. The reason Paul wrote about Jesus is not coming soon, so we wouldn't sell everything and say, okay, we're going to just wait for Jesus. You see, two extremes people fall in. And there is one thing about this that I learned. And that they do this in the business world. In order to move people to work, you need to make urgency. In order for you to accomplish a project, you need to know that there is a time limit. In 2 weeks, we need your report. You have a time limit, so there will be what? Urgency. That's why Jesus gives us these moments and says, in this generation, none of you will die yet before the kingdom of God. And that's coded, so it's hard for us to understand that. But one thing about Jesus' message is don't live thinking about tomorrow. You only have today. So New Life Church, we are in an urgency mode right now. Because there's so much we need to accomplish yet. So many people are going away from God. A lot of people say, I believe in God. But when you start talking really, they don't believe. You know why apostles accomplished so much? Because they lived in an urgency mode. They didn't think that they have 10 years left or 50 years left. They thought, if we don't do this in our generation, we don't know if there's going to be a new generation. And yet they knew, but that's how they lived. Look at your life personally. How are you living? Really, you don't have time. You only have today. People around you only have today. So the reason we should feel not fear or trouble, but urgency, is because somebody could die today in this city who could have been saved, who could have heard about Jesus and turned himself to him. There could be a person who's a great musician who could be saved and use his gift for the kingdom of God. There could be great business people who are in trouble right now and they're looking for answers. And you know what? If we don't give them answers, guess who will? Psychics will. Satan will give them answers. And that's who they're going to serve. Where you get your answers, that's who you serve. That's where you serve. Because Christianity is about urgency. Christianity is about today. It's not about tomorrow. So maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, how does that apply to me? Do you have projects behind and you think I'm going to finish it? That's not how we're going to live. We're going to live in urgency. We're going to worship like it is the last service today. Because somebody might not be here next Sunday. So we got to love like I might never see you again. That's how we evangelize more. That's how we give more. That's how we give our all. That's how we pray more. That's how we read the Word of God more. Because it's urgent. Because there's no tomorrow. Don't allow the devil to trick you that God is going to do something in you tomorrow. No, everything He's going to do with you, He's going to do it today. Everything you're going to do for Him, you're going to do it today. Let's remove the mentality tomorrow. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't think about so much tomorrow. Today. Today is your day. Today is your day to get right with God.